Hello, my name is Molly, and I'd like to welcome you to Vegan Nation. Vegan Nation is an informational program featuring vegan music, news, events, and interviews about the vegan revolution happening worldwide, manifesting a paradigm of peace, justice, freedom, health, wellness, and sustainability. The views in this program do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the station nor its management. Vegan Nation has been on air since 2015. Much thanks to all our listeners for tuning in. In this episode, I'm featuring Anonymous for the Voiceless, an organization of vegan street activism with chapters worldwide, hundreds of chapters. Their activism is called A Cube of Truth. A Cube of Truth is a peaceful street activism demonstration that employs direct action with the public. From their website, anonymousforthevoiceless.org, those who love peace must learn to organize as effectively as those who love war. Martin Luther King. The Anonymous for the Voiceless Cube of Truth is organized into two teams. One is the Cube Team. Each person in the cube holds either one of their truth signs or a device that plays graphic and powerful footage of animal exploitation. Members of the public approach in order to learn the truth about how non-human animals are enslaved at the hands of humans worldwide. The Outreach Team of the Cube of Truth. The outreach team of an AV cube engages with the public by asking interested onlookers questions about the footage they are looking at. The footage shown and the outreach helps bring the power of change back to the individual, shedding light from the victim's point of view. The outreach team edifies bystanders to open their minds about what they are responsible for. The outreach teams are equipped with resources and the training to initiate and carry out these hardline discussions. I'll be featuring one of the AV masterclasses that the co-founder Asal Alamdari led in France in October 2024. And a huge event that Anonymous of the Voiceless Cube of Truth is organizing is this month, the month of July 2025. And it's One Dawn Month. ...31 straight days of street activism, July 1st to July 31st, in front of the Cologne Cathedral, Germany. The translation of Dawn is Cathedral. One Dawn Month. And after that, they are heading to Amsterdam for One Dam Ode on Dam Square, Amsterdam, the Netherlands. 8 consecutive days of street activism on Dam Square, August 3rd to August 10th, 2025. Here's Asal leading one of the AV masterclasses held in France, October 2024.
So I just want to emphasize on the fact that we don't want to be aggressive and rude to people. That's not what we're doing. We just want to be very firm with them, and we want to be brutally honest. We want to hold them accountable. The truth is that it's an uncomfortable topic. It brings up guilt in people. Doesn't matter where you are in the world. I'm from Iran, and when I talk to Iranian people, it's the same. They find it to be aggressive and too much. I have never talked to any nation who finds it just enough. You know what I mean? So it's not about the people. It's not like this is suitable for one culture or one country or one nation and the other ones find it too aggressive. Everyone would say that because it makes them uncomfortable. Because it touches exactly what it's supposed to be touching.
We're listening to Asal Alamdari leading an AV masterclass in France, October 2024. Anonymous for the Voiceless.
Okay, if I was an animal, this is how I would want someone to speak up for me. This is why I focus on the emotions. Because if you want to go into a debate about this and that, you go into people's heads. the mind and the brain is the one that is heavily conditioned with all this information and the school and the government and all of that. But the heart is the one that does not get conditioned. You cannot program the heart. The heart, when I say, I don't mean the physical heart, but I mean where the emotions sit, where our values sit. So if the person has the value of being anti-exploitation or against violence, etc., that value sits in the heart. We just need to reach and grab it, okay? That's why it comes down to whoever is ready to open, to receive the message and to take action. Those who are open say, yeah, that is what changed me. And those who are not open, they say, yeah, those are extremists vegan. And, you know, we've had so many people who went vegan on the spot at the Cube and they became activists. We have activists within AV that are organizers that went vegan because of AV. Vegan versus plant-based diet, we already touched on it, so I'll just quickly cover this. Our job as animal rights activists is to correct the language and address the confusion. As I said, there is a lot of confusion around this in our society, and it doesn't seem like it's getting better because I feel like the media is doing such a good job. It's creating more confusion in the movies and TV shows and ads and things like that. So it's our job to correct it. We want to make sure that people don't see veganism as a diet anymore. They still do, but we do our best to correct it. Veganism applies to many aspects of our lives, not just the diet, even though the most number of animals who are being exploited, this is happening to them because of food. That's the truth. But there are also so many other animals that are exploited in other industries. So we need to also be mindful of that. So someone could eat a plant-based diet while wearing animal skin and using products tested on animals. Why? Because they are doing it for their health. When someone says I'm plant-based, it's also a very vague term now. It doesn't always mean fully plant-based. A lot of times it means mostly plant-based, because someone could say, yeah, I'm actually plant-based. And then 5 minutes later, you find out they eat honey and sometimes they eat wild caught fish and whatever else, backyard eggs, and they call themselves plant-based. So it's okay to say vegan diet. We just need to make sure people understand that veganism is more than just the diet.
You have a question?
Yes. Je peux le faire en français aussi, pour que ce soit plus simple, mais...
That's fine.
Est-ce qu'on pourrait, à la place, ou en rajoutant à exploitation, parler de massacre directement? Que ce soit beaucoup plus...
Exploitation,
parce que j'ai l'impression... Exploitation, j'ai vraiment l'impression que c'est pas assez fort par rapport à ce que c'est réellement. Et que c'est devenu un mot un peu presque neutre. En tout cas en France, je sais pas, ailleurs.
I think I understood. He's saying using the word massacre instead of exploitation. But... You think exploitation is not strong enough?
Yes. But for the equivalent of abuse.
So... So the thing is, we actually made this update recently to stay away from all the other words and stick to exploitation. And we had the same workshop in Amsterdam, and it went for 6 hours, and maybe for half an hour we were just discussing this word. So it seems like we can't find the perfect word that we all agree with. But it seems like this is so far the best word that we have, that is the most inclusive in what we are trying to say. Because we used to say, you know, abuse, and then it became, if we use the word abuse, it becomes about whether there is a right way to use animals. So then we said, okay, we will stay away from that. If we use the word cruelty or violence, again, it doesn't even depict what the animals are going through. Exploitation seems like the most suitable because it's what's happening. So exploiting means using someone against their will, right? And that is exactly what's happening to the animals in all the different industries and all the different ways they are being tortured, they're being raped, they are being brutally murdered. All of that fits into exploitation. So if we were to say massacre instead, that's only about the killing or the murder. So up until they get to the kill floor, what they have gone through is being ignored. Does that make sense?
I agree with you, but I think that he is not wrong. We have to use exploitation, but we have always to explain and to complete
to explain
what is exploitation, to resume, to summarize what is exploitation,
yes.
Insemination, etc. Exactly what you said.
Yeah, of course.
In France, we have to explain that.
No, it's everywhere because we have now put it in the flowchart as well. So a lot of times when you say exploitation, the person doesn't know. So I like to go in and say, do you understand what the word exploitation means? Yes. Can you tell me what it means to you? If they give me a good enough definition, I leave them alone. If not, I will tell them. And everything that comes up on the screen, you know, like the rape or anything, then I'll say, see, this is exploitation. But yeah, so far, I think that's the best word that we have. So if we can think of a better word that includes all of that, I'm open to it. Yeah.
Yes, I agree with the exploitation because... I'll try in English. I have two examples. My brother was a military, so yeah, they use dog for sniff. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the name is.
Sniff.
Yeah. And this is an exposition. This is not a massacre, but this is not okay, never. And I was zookeeper before being vegan. And we used to dresser.
Train.
Je ne sais plus comment on dit les otaries.
Yes. What?
Sea lion. Sea lion.
The mammals, sea lion.
Sea lions. So we used
all of that, right?
Training with sea lions. And finally, all their life was just work for our food. So finally, it's an exploitation. It's not acceptable, but it's not a massacre. Mm. So I think exploitation is better.
Yeah.
It's a good word.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, because it includes everything. All right, next question.
Yeah, so mine is not about how to use the protocol for non-vegans. We actually talked about this in Amsterdam a little bit, but I don't know if there's been any movement on there. Do we not have a protocol to outreach vegans?
Vegans?
Yeah, and convince them to go active.
We don't have a protocol. But we just tell them, it's really important for you to speak up for the animals. We don't have enough people to speak up for them. And, you know, you can come and join us. This is, you know, how we do it. And I ask them, where are you from? Where do you live? Oh, we actually have a chapter there. This is how you can join them. I even show them. I give them a card if they want to so they can go and join the group. Or if they don't have a chapter there, I say, you know, you can start your own chapter. You can do this in your city. It's really important that you speak up for the animals. And I actually always say you don't have to join us, but it's important for you to do activism for the animals. Any more questions?
Yeah.
Yes.
So it's more out of curiosity, but like, so you've been doing cubes in a lot of different countries. And I was wondering if you feel that in France people are more or less open to the message about animal exploitation, and if people have more doubt than you can actually live without eating animals or their secretions.
I think it's sort of the same everywhere because I think most people think that we should eat animals and we need animals and they're used to it, so it's okay. But I was talking to this vegetarian couple. I think I was showing the dairy industry and I was like, so do you know about the dairy industry? And then the cows were being raped or whatever. And I said, so you think it's okay for the cows to be raped for your cheese? And she said, oh, that doesn't happen. And I said, I said, it does happen everywhere.
We're listening to Asal Alamdari, co-founder of Anonymous for the Voiceless. Anonymous for the Voiceless is vegan education, street activism, with chapters worldwide. Asal and her partner, Paul Bashir, started Anonymous for the Voiceless in Melbourne, Australia in 2016, March 2016, and there's chapters worldwide. You're tuned into Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene Narrow, Worcester, Massachusetts. We'll be taking a short break, and then we'll continue with the program. This is The Cow Song by Will Tuttle. Welcome back from the break. Thank you very much for joining us on Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene, Massachusetts. I'm sharing a recording of Asal Alamdari, co-founder of Anonymous for the Voiceless, the international campaign of vegan education, street activism. This is her masterclass that she's leading in France, October 2024. This is a shortened, edited snippet of the 3+ hour masterclass.
The next step is to speak out. Use your voice to defend animals against human supremacism, just as you would want to be defended if you were in their position. Again, putting the person in the victim's position. Sometimes people turn away from the footage. So sometimes people say, oh, I can't even watch this, and they turn around. And I'll still talk to them. And then if I say, look, this is the dairy industry, and they're like, I really cannot, but I'm happy to talk to you, then I'm like, okay. But otherwise, this is how I do it. I keep saying, see, this is the egg industry. See, this is what's happening. I explain it to them, and I encourage them to go and have a look. We need to tell them. We need to keep emphasizing on the fact that these animals are exploited at the hands of humans. That person is responsible for it, and that's why they should go vegan. Kids, should we talk to kids? Yes, because kids are the most receptive. They haven't gone through all the conditioning in our society through school and families and their peers. I actually had one of the best conversations with this little girl in Prague, I think. She was so young. She was no more than three and a half years old. She was so cute. And I loved the fact that the parents were standing a few meters away from me being outraged, and they had no problem with the kid being here with me, and I was sitting on the floor, and we were just chatting and watching the footage. It was amazing.
Yeah.
So this little girl, she was watching the footage, and she was getting really angry, like she was doing this. And I explained to her what we're showing. She was like, no, this is not good. When I see a dog, I like to help them. This is how she was talking. And then she did this cute thing that she was doing this like a rabbit jumping around. She was like, I like cute little animals. So then at one point, I made it clear to her that any animal that people eat, you know, for their flesh or what comes out of their body, I was breaking it down in the most, you know, basic sort of language for her to understand. At the end of the conversation with this girl, what I did was I said, okay, so next time when you're home and your mom and dad give you chicken or sausage or yogurt, so I was naming all the products, okay, for her to understand. What do you say? You say no. And she said, I say no. It was the most adorable. So this is how it, and then I asked this multiple times because she wasn't even going. She kept walking away and she kept coming back to me, and the parents were standing there, so they had no problem. So then I said, so tell me, what do you say? I say no. So that was her declaring to be vegan. I mean, you never know with the kid, but I would like to think that because she sees the images at such a young age, it's going to leave an imprint on her mind, and that conversation she's going to remember. I outreached this young boy with his mom in Amsterdam. I think he would have been maybe 8 or 9, and he was very smart. and I outreached him, and I could tell he wants to be a vegan. And so I put the mom on the spot because the mom wasn't as receptive. And I said to her, so your son wants to be vegan. Are you going to let him be vegan? And I could tell that it's a very uncomfortable position for her to be in, because then the son's going to, when they go home, he's going to have that conversation and be like, but you said yes in front of the lady. See, at the end she was like, yeah, it's his choice. If he wants to be vegan, then that's fine. And the age is very important, because like that little girl that I was talking about was less than 4, but this boy was much older, so I could use better language to communicate. But yeah, I really like what you said as well, to give them some power and confidence, and so that they don't feel like just sad and miserable for the animals, because kids have a lot of empathy and they haven't been conditioned yet, so they're in touch with that. So they feel a lot more than adults, and it's really good if we can get through to them. No more questions?
Just a remark, every time I finish a successful discussion,
I often explain to people that every vegan I encountered these last 10 years explain this is the best decision they made in their life.
Yes, and yeah, I usually say when people ask me, so how long have you been vegan for? And I say 15 years. And I immediately say, and my only regret is that I didn't go vegan sooner. I always say that. It's like automatic. It comes out, you know, as soon as I tell them, so that I make it clear that not only I don't regret it, I don't miss out on any, you know, food or nutrition, I actually think it's the best decision. Yeah.
At the close of the program, I'm going to share Paul Boucher's masterclass that he held on June 30th, 2025. And the title of that masterclass is One Dom Month Masterclass with Gary Yourofsky. Gary Yourofsky has been out of the scene for 11 years. This is his comeback. And I just discovered that Gary's first recorded speech was in Massachusetts at Deerfield Academy in 2006. Gary Yourofsky, Yourofsky, Yourofsky. The title of his speech in 2006 at Deerfield Academy is called Simple Truths. We are listening to the music of Will Tuttle. This is the Deer Song, D-E-E-R. In this program, I featured a short snippet of the AV Masterclass that Anonymous for the Voiceless co-founder Asal Alamdari led in France in 2024. Here's Asal's partner, Paul Boucher. That's B-A-S-H-I-R. Paul Boucher's Masterclass, June 30th, 2025, in Cologne, Germany.
First of all, I'd like to thank you for being here. I need to start by thanking someone who has sponsored this masterclass with food. I need to shout out Nia over in Frankfurt. Rosenfeld is his surname, Nia Rosenfeld. He has 7 vegan restaurants, all badass vegan establishments who get across a clear vegan message in the restaurants. He dedicates his life to animals. At some point, we'll have Gary, of course, up here with me. I saw his speech, Georgia Tech, blew me away. And from that moment on, I became extremely passionate about the animals and what they were going through at the hands of humans. From that speech, it not only made me vegan, but a vegan activist. And that's extremely important. And we'll get into this later on about what kind of message we're sending to people and what that leads to, because we're trying to convince people to become vegan, but we also want them to become vegan activists, not just vegan. My initial activism that I got into was online, so you would find me at that point in my life arguing with everybody in the comment section. Okay, any vegan post that I found where I saw any non-vegan talking shit, you would find me, right? You know, so I was making posts myself and I was arguing with people, and that's kind of how I started. Then I started outreaching and doing my own sort of thing, and I went out. One of the things I distinctly remember was going to the Melbourne Cup. Has anybody heard of the Melbourne Cup?
Yes.
Yeah, it's the biggest horse racing event in Australia, and it attracts people from all over the world. And I am ashamed that I actually participated in one of those. as well when I wasn't vegan. And then I made a song about it as well. The song's pretty tight. But then when I was active for the animals, I also have a video on my YouTube channel where I was standing in front of the Melbourne Cup confronting people that were walking out. And I was outreaching them.
You're listening to Paul Bashir. This is an edited shortened clip from his June 30th, 2025 AV Outreach Masterclass in Cologne, Germany. He's sharing a little bit of the history of AV.
So when we initially started, we had a line and we had people facing opposite directions. So one person facing that way, the next person standing next to them facing the other way, and so forth and so on. Back then, we weren't calling them cubes of truth either. We were calling them Thousand Eyes Experience. Why did we call it Thousand Eyes Experience? Because there's a 4-minute video, which I recently used in Taipei, Taiwan, during my first classroom lecture in front of 33 students. And that 4-minute clip is called Thousand Eyes. Back then, that 4-minute clip was extremely powerful, and it still is. When I played it during that classroom lecture, I broke out into tears, because it's just insane. So we would show that on screens, no sound, and then we would do outreach, okay? After 3 or 4 actions, we had established the cube, because we tried different things, circles, triangles, we even tried to like press up against the wall, and we tried different things, but ideally, when we did the square, we were like, that's the one. And then we worked on perfecting that into what it is today. And it's always been a process of perfecting. It's never ever going to end, that we need to continue to work on this to get better and better. So the structure that we have now, and then at some point we decided to call it a cube of truth, which happened by accident. I just said it during a debrief one day. I was like, that was an awesome cube of truth, and people kind of laughed. And I was like, actually, that's dope. We need to stick with that. And then we kept, you know, calling it that. And then we officially changed the name of the campaigns to Cubes of Truth. And at some point during like the 3rd or 4th action, we set up the organization, Anonymous for the Voices, because we knew that the cube model itself was awesome, but it needed an organization behind it. Because if it didn't have that, then we wouldn't be able to provide this in a professional way to other people as a platform to do this as well. You know, it's one thing to provide an ebook or something like that to people and say, here's the instructions, but then to have a whole organization behind it where you can provide support, training, resources, a whole team. That's a completely different ballgame. So we knew we had to do that in order to make this what it needs to be. So the first Cube of Truth effectively started in April of 2016. So we're nearly 10 years deep into this. And the core mission that we have is to end human supremacy and to establish true respect for the animals. Because we all know that people love to say they respect animals, right? Even hunters. Right? But we're here to make sure people are telling the truth. We're here to make sure that true respect is established for animals. And that's been my mission since I started this.
And I would like to share a very short snippet of my interview with Anonymous for the Voiceless organizer in the state of New York, USA. This is Entice, also known as Entice the Lyrical Vegan. This is her song, A Mother's Right.
Why are you taking him? Oh my God, you stabbed him. Right, I'm enslaved, no family around it. All I have is anger, depression, and sadness. I want to hold him one time in his madness. All I see is blood springing out like a mattress. What's on my chest poking me like a cactus? On a machine, milking me is my status. 4 times a day, they doing it. I just want to die if I'm choosing it. That's on the list too, again, I'm doing it. I'm back in this rape rack and I'm losing it. Finally heading back to my house. 5 years of torture, I'm glad I'm getting out. It's a bumpy ride, but I got my baby on my side. Stroke his hair back as I sing a lullaby. Smell of death in the wind as the air pass by. Not sure what it is, cause I'm on a mother high. 4 babies taken from me, so many cries. Now I could be with you, it's just you and I. We made it, son, we made it to our house. But this is not our house, this is the slaughterhouse. This is the life of every single dairy cow. This is what you're paying for, it's kinda really scary. How I have to make these songs, I have to tell you this. How many times do I have to tell you this? I do it to my grave, until you connect with this. Blowing out your animal abuse like I made a wish.
July 2023 interview.
We're going up again. 8 billion people. We're saying things that people they don't want to hear. They are harsh truths. They are, but somebody has to say it. And the things that people don't want to talk about, somebody has to do it. The animals can't do it. Being an activist liberates them all.
Thank you very much, Entice. Thank you for joining us on Vegan Nation.
Absolutely, Marlene. Always a pleasure.
And much thanks to our listeners for tuning into Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene, Massachusetts. Please join us again next week at the same time. You can hear this program again at vegansradio.com. This is Marlene wishing you a safe and pleasant day.